Thank you, Steve.
143, this is WGN Radio. I'm John Williams, fabled triangulator. On a phone line, Jean Sahadi writes about money for CNNMoney.com. She's a senior writer there. She has a very interesting piece entitled Trump's First Budget, Trillions in Cuts. She wrote, it calls on Congress to spend $4.1 trillion next year, which is a little more than what is being spent this year, but it would greatly reallocate where the federal funds go. I think that's an interesting way to start your story, because we're hearing cuts, 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 but we'll actually be spending a little more than even the previous budget. Is that right, Jean? Got the wrong button up. Is that right, Jean? Hi, there you are, Jean. Go ahead.
Hi. The spending $4.1 trillion, it's not atypical to spend a little bit more than the year before because of cost of living and things like that. So it's not really a huge jump at all. But yes, the Trump budget would, in fact, call to reallocate funds not only next year in 2018, but over the next decade. Some of the things that he would like to spend more money on is defense and border security. He would like to invest some money in infrastructure spending, not as much as he said on the campaign trail, just about $200 billion, but he wants to use that to entice the private sector to join public-private partnerships with governments to rebuild bridges and roads and things like that.
Sure.
He also, one of the real bright spots in the budget is his calling for a paid parental leave plan. It would be the first sort of national parental leave program ever. He wants to administer it through the unemployment benefits program, and it would be for both mothers and fathers, whether they had a child on their own or they adopted. That's an expansion of his campaign promise, which was a paid leave program just for working mothers who don't get maternity leave from their employers. That's about all the details we have on that plan. So lots and lots of details to be worked over if, in fact, Congress wants to adopt it. I know some economists don't think it's a good idea to go through the unemployment system, but broadly, it's a wonderful thing that the issue is being discussed, because so many new parents are struggling to take time with their newborn and yet not lose their job.
Yeah, no kidding.
They don't have enough money to do it on their own.
Well, currently, you are afforded up to 12 weeks of leave from your job, but most people can't afford that.
That's right, because it's unpaid. That's the FMLA, the Family Medical Leave Act, only allows for 12 weeks unpaid for having a child or taking care of an ill family member or yourself, and have your job guaranteed. And that's helpful, but most people can't afford to take 2 weeks, let alone 12 weeks, without a paycheck.
Yeah, right. So
to have 6 weeks of at least partial pay would be helpful.
So at least 6 weeks of partial pay. And I know you just said that we don't have the details on this, but I wonder how typically, we're the only country in the industrialized West that doesn't have something like this. I wonder how that would be executed. Does your employer pay you, or does the government? And do you actually get a check, or do you only get the money back as a smaller tax bill at the end of the year?
Oh, I don't think it would be through the tax system. It would be through the unemployment system. So if I got laid off and I was entitled to unemployment benefits, you know, I believe my employer pays in some amount of money for all its workers into the unemployment system. And so if they lay me off, I get money from that system.
Right.
So likewise, if I was going to have a baby and wanted to take 6 weeks off, I would get a check from the unemployment system. And this is, I'm guessing now, really, there are truly no details. So I don't want to say something that isn't
true. No, but you're helping already. But I mean,
the tax system, yeah.
Well, all right, but then I wonder this. And again, I know you don't know the answer to this question, but bear with me. Would there be an income cap on that? Would there be a limit to...
That would probably be a smart thing. I think there might be, well, right, exactly, because you don't want to have a millionaire take 6 weeks and get paid by the government. It's not necessary. Also, a lot of employers offer paid leave to their workers. So this would benefit those people who work for companies that don't offer it. I don't know if that would be restricted only to people without paid parental leave.
Yeah, that's another interesting point.
Employer.
Right. What if their employer is already doing it? Although, if I was an employer and the federal government was going to pick up the tab, I might scale back my paid leave for new families that way. Only the
except
number.
Except that, yeah, but not if your competitors are offering. If one company offers me 12 weeks fully paid maternity leave, I'm not going to go to the guy who says, we'll give you 6 weeks partially paid through the government. Like, I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to go with the employer who has the more generous benefit. I mean, that's the whole thing with employer benefits. They use it to compete with their with other companies in their industry to attract workers. So I don't know that that would be, I mean, that's what they said about Obamacare. Everyone would throw their workers onto Obamacare, but they didn't. A lot of people still have workplace-based insurance.
So there's a lot of discussion about the allocation of the money, and there's a discussion about, in fact, would this budget work? Because it calls on such rosy projections of economic growth, and there's sort of this magic $2 trillion floating out there that they seem to be using twice.
Yes, right. Through the tax cuts, both creating growth and yet paying for themselves at the same time. Yes, and also in the Medicaid, we're not quite sure if they're double counting some of the cuts that are being made. So that's a question mark we have yet to answer. But pretty much the budget has been roundly criticized from the left and the right for being too optimistic on economic growth. And optimistic is a kind word. I mean, delusional is really what some people think of it as. Just a few hours ago, a deficit hawk, Mark Sanford of South Carolina, took White House Budget Director Mick Mulvaney to task for this 3% sustained growth rate. And that's important because he is really from Mick Mulvaney's camp. Mick Mulvaney is a deficit hawk. He was with the Tea Party, then the Freedom Caucus. Mark Sanford is very much of that same ilk, and he was having none of it with a 3% growth. So, yes, that's not going to fly.
I think did Mulvaney go to the Sean Spicer School of How to Win Friends and Influence People? Somebody needs to counsel White House spokespeople on demeanor, on how do you win over an audience from a podium. I don't think it's easy, particularly working for this president. I mean, seriously, how do you do it? But I think being, what's the word now, John? Whatever he was doing from behind that podium yesterday was not working. It was not coming across as a very good sales job.
That's right. The whole administration really could do with a bit more graciousness in how they present their proposals.
And well, especially when you're asking for us to put money into walls and tanks and take 29% out of the SNAP program. There was an interesting line from his presentation yesterday. Gene, comment on this. He said there will be money for everybody who needs it in this budget. The problem is we're giving too much money to people who don't need it. Now, I think that's true. But it's hard, but that's tough medicine to take sometimes.
Well, I think his broad point is true. I mean, nobody who pays taxes in this country really wants those tax dollars to go to somebody who's scamming the system. Understood. You know, but you have human beings involved here. So wherever there's a federal program and there are human beings, there's going to be some fraud, waste, and abuse. There always is, and we already have anti-abuse programs in place. So we could work to improve those programs. But the concern with the way they've presented this budget is they're going to somehow magically assess who's deserving and who's not in a way that is perhaps a bit more stringent than is the case today. And I should say that, you know, even liberals who look at the Social Security Disability Program might say, yes, we need to reform that program so that the eligibility requirements and the oversight into who can work and who can't, you know, that could be improved. So the broad point is well taken. It's just the specifics and the magnitude that the Trump budget is calling for is—it's a little bit tough. It feels a bit heartless. And you know, Mick Mulvaney is asked repeatedly, "Well, how can you be so heartless?" And he always comes back and say, "Well, when it comes to compassion, we're not going to measure it in the number of people who are in the programs, but the number of people we get off the programs." Again, a well taken point, but. If the idea is, hey, guy, you got to work. We don't want to give you any more money for food stamps or whatever. That's okay, but they're also cutting work training programs, and they're not painting a very clear picture of where these jobs are going to come from because there may be very many able-bodied people who simply can't find a job that's suitable for them. So that's a broader economic problem. So it's just it's a tough budget. Well, let's just leave it at that. It's a tough budget. And Democrats are having none of it in the hearings today, and I imagine tomorrow as well.
We'll catch up then again on that. I sure appreciate your time this afternoon. I know you've got to get back to it. Gene, thanks for your time this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
Gene Tahati is a senior writer at CNNMoney.com.